folks. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake, and this is episode 286, The Curse of...
The Baby with a Glove.
Oh, fuck that baby and its dumb glove.
What's he going to do with the glove? Who knows?
I don't know. It's something terrifying.
Very sinister.
We are recording this in Austin, Texas at the Hodgecast Studios, a.k.a. the Hodge Pound. That was a good, like, robo dog.
Yeah. You don't know where that dog is.
We also are your podcast lions. David Hatta, how are you doing?
Wish we could afford a lion instead of a dog. I'm doing all right. I had a realization. I got here about 10 minutes earlier than I should have. And I need to stop doing that because it really takes the energy out of me. Like, just being alone in the studio, just reflecting on my life. I'm like, oh, I kind of don't want to do this show anymore because I have nothing going on for me. I should just, like, come into the door like a bolt of lightning and just sit down and do it.
Is it the darkness of the room that does it for you?
It's the darkness of the room and of my soul these days. Is that?
Oh, you got a dark soul.
Yeah. I feel there. I feel there, man.
What's that?
Nah, that's it.
All right. I want to know what there is. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the show.
Sure.
We have a very special in-studio guest. Normally she lives in...
New York.
But now she is in...
Austin.
For the moment. I don't know why I made you that. Julia Rossi, everybody. Yay!
Can I clap for myself?
Yes,
like
please.
I usually do.
No one could tell who the claps were coming from.
Oh, yeah. But I wanted them to know how much I was clapping for.
Oh,
myself.
Sure. In fact, we can probably multi-track it and just...
Yeah.
Sounds like a
just
dozen
do a whole
people.
Crowd.
That could just be the whole show.
It's 20 Julias clapping.
Multi-tracked clapping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Julia Rossi, how you doing?
I'm good.
You're making a bit of a week out of this. You've been in Austin for... You're going to be here for like when I'll send in like what, a week?
A whole week.
So you'll run out of stuff to do day two. Is that right?
I think I'm already out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do need... A barbecue place.
Go on.
I've been to Style Switch.
Sure.
And I've been to, not Franklin's, but the other one. Maybe it is Franklin's. They have like a band outside. They had like people playing music outside.
Oh boy. Was there a long line?
Yes. Maybe I did go to Franklin's.
Was it early in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was Franklin's.
Yeah. So I guess I've done the two. Is there a third that I need to do?
Dr. Barbecue. Is there a third?
Yeah, I would recommend Friedman's. It's on, I just talked about it two episodes ago, or one episode ago, whatever. Yeah, it's on West Campus. It's kind of out of the way, so no one really goes there.
Friedman's?
Yes.
Okay, done.
The service is lousy, but the meat is excellent.
I don't go for the service. I go for that mother effing pork.
Thank you for cleaning up. Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna say you could, but that's fine. We're here now.
I did you know what TED Talks are?
Sure.
I did TEDx, and I just got they just sent it to me today to like watch it before they posted it.
So like a Nation of Islam talk or?
No, but I can't believe how much I said fuck in it. I was like, I probably the most, that is my, whatever, it's my favorite, one of my favorite words, but I was like, I sent it to my sister, I'm like, anything you noticed in here? She's like, your dress is wrinkled. I was like, oh, well, she didn't notice, so.
What was the talk about?
Yeah.
Is healing, well, the whole weekend that I did, the theme was the pursuit of happiness, so I talked about healing loneliness with laughter.
Okay.
And how humor connects us all and makes us feel better.
You are a veteran of storytelling shows, but like TEDx, you know, there's a TED heads there. Were you nervous about that at all?
Oh my God. Insane diarrhea.
Oh, wow.
And I also talked about that in the talk. I'm like, I think I'm the first TED talk about diarrhea and where I drop an F-bomb like 8 times. But yeah, I was super nervous because I wanted to, you know, there's a lot of pressure where it's like ideas worth spreading. And I'm like, mm-hmm. sometimes you're like, are my ideas worth spreading?
Yeah.
And I wanted to help people with it and make people feel good. And, you know, it's a different audience. And so in the beginning, they didn't laugh very much. And then I pointed that out and then they sort of loosened up. I mean, like, you know, cause before me was like a minister and then someone who wrote a book and they were charming and, you know, had jokes as well. But mm-hmm. mine was a little bit more. They brought me in to be sort of the comic relief.
At the talk, did you get any feedback from the people who were there?
It was a lot of older people, which is not a bad thing. It's just I noticed.
I don't know.
And,
what are you
going to
do with that information? Line your coffin with it?
Yeah. Oh, you are horrible. But they, I got really good feedback.
Yeah.
However, the organizer's mom did walk out.
The organizer's mom.
Was this in a garage?
Yeah, it was.
Wait, was Ted the organization or Ted the kid?
Yeah, she walked out, I think, when I said blowjob. She was like, all right, I've had it. This TED Talk is not what I thought it was going to be.
Hear this TED Talk.
Yeah, it was just, why did I? Oh, because I said mother effing. Motherfucking. That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, there we are.
Oh,
you're talking about barbecue in this town? You better say motherfucking.
Motherfucking. Oh, God, my mouth's already watering.
we're going back into barbecue talk.
Yeah.
What did you think of Style Switch?
I love it. I like any pork product covered in sauce.
Okay.
Oh, next barbecue question.
Yeah.
What's your go-to meat?
Oh, when I go to a barbecue place, pork. Okay. Like a pulled pork or a rib. Are ribs at barbecue places usually beef?
They do either.
They usually, pork. I'd say for the most part.
Actually, you know what? If you like pork, I'm going to throw another one out at you.
Please, give it.
It's going to be Black's on 31st in Guadalupe.
Can we write this all down later?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here for 2 years, so I may as well.
Yeah.
I have a barbecue app that you can just download.
Are you serious?
I do now.
Well,
mail it to myself.
Why are you giving that shit away?
I'm not.
Dr. Barbecue's Grease Guy.
Yeah, Dr. Barbecue's a great name. DRBBQ.
Look, I'm wrestling with so many good nicknames these days.
Yeah.
Mr. Thursday Nights.
I was just about to say Mr. Thursday
Nights. Wow, what happens on Thursday nights?
Well, back in when David and I first met at our old job at International Tomato.
Yeah.
It was weird because I went to college, right?
You sure did.
Did you? I don't know. I don't know you.
Well, sort of.
Who are you?
I like to tell people.
She's got you up against the wall. You need to reveal who you are.
I'm out of here.
And also, what's an International Tomato?
It's a fake business.
Yeah. It was a front company that we gave out there, so we didn't have to reveal where we actually were.
Olive Garden. Got it.
But
it was home of the International Tomato.
I drank in college and whatever, but not as much as I did my first job out of college, which is where I met this guy.
Yeah, and I was drinking a lot at that time.
And so it was like Thursday night would roll around, and we just rolled that right into Friday morning.
Yeah, got to have a pre-end.
Yeah.
Were you both doing comedy at the time?
No, neither one of them.
Oh, what?
The No Twins.
That job, International Tomato, forced you into this lifestyle, huh?
It did. We entered a short comedy film competition and won, and then we sort of that snowballed into other things. Julia Rossi, how dare you turn the tables on us? Ask us questions.
The interviewee has become the interviewer.
I am thinking about starting a podcast like most people.
Barbecue talk, let's do it.
Yeah, well, nope, not interested. Thank you, though. But I mean, actually, I could do that.
See, I'm spitballing out here, and you're rejecting it. That's
mine
fine.
Would be like...
Spitballing with Julia Rossi.
It would be almost like a phone sex hotline, but about food. Like, I'd be like, oh, yeah, tell me more about that pork. Like, that's my podcast.
Okay, I don't know what
1-900 pork.
I don't know how to invest, but I will give you all of my money.
Oh, I love it.
Let's give that podcast a trial run right now.
Yeah. Oh, this pizza is so wet. What? I do love wet pizza. Oily, like oil. Anyways,
you got a caller on line one?
Hi, I'm calling about a burger I just had the other day. It was really big. It was about half of my face.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I got all of my hands.
Grass-fed?
Oh, yeah, of course it was. Mm-hmm. Pepper jack cheese and a little horsey sauce on there, something like that.
I feel uncomfortable now.
Okay.
Bye, click. Game over.
Wait a second. So that's your podcast. Well, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah. I only like it when I want to do it. My podcast is called I Only Like It When I Want to Do It.
Let the record show. What? I wasn't leading you anywhere. I was talking about a burger.
Well, Julia, now you know that your podcast idea is terrible.
Yeah. Okay. On to another one.
But that's the thing with Austin, cycling back around to the first topic. When people come to town, what do we do here? And I mean, there's lots of fun drinking and eating and hanging out, but there's not a lot of sights to see.
Yeah.
Goodwill, dollar a pound. That is where it's at. That's what I did today.
I was only there for
an hour and a half. I could have been there all day.
Dollar a pound?
Dollar a pound stuff. Not even just to go, even if you don't want to buy things that are covered in herpes, but just to go and watch the madness that ensues. Because when they bring out a new bin of stuff, it's unbelievable the way people just attack.
No, homie. I love Goodwill. I mean, yeah, of course, it's fun to go to. I had a bad experience there recently. Mm-hmm. We were doing a shoot, And
gotta do some prop shopping.
So I went there like a half hour before my call time, and I was like, okay, I got plenty of time.
You like getting places early. That's what I've noticed about you in this podcast.
If you're on time, you're late. That's my motto.
Wow, like, Dr. Barbecue.
Like Tom Coughlin. Yeah, but so I get to Goodwill like a half hour early, but it's like this Sunday sale, and it was the most maddening thing. Like everyone was just loading up carts, and they were in line for like 20 items. And I was just there for two items, and I had to stand there for like 45 minutes.
Oh, you didn't get your way.
No, I didn't. I like getting my way.
All I know is somebody has some new clothing items they are very excited about, plus a shit ton of trophies. I bought a bunch of trophies. I own no trophies, and I got one for myself and a friend.
Is there a label on the trophy?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I got one for my boyfriend that is labeled to like a Nunzio Alouette or something like that, which I didn't realize there was so many Italians down here. And probably, I don't know, anyways. And so then I got myself a dance one.
Okay.
I wanted to be a dancer as a kid. I did not. I took like a half a day of dance class and quit.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, this is hard.
But now you got a little fuck you money, so you can buy that glory.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that probably weighed a pound itself. So that trophy was a dollar. Just to let you know how my career is going. bling, bling.
Better pick yourself up a Legends of the Hidden Temple book bag there for haul back all this loot. Or a, I don't know.
What if I have Spider-Man to check my bag just to fit this? Because I never do check bags. Try to, yeah. It's like now the trophy.
Let me ask you this. So it's like, you got to check this bag. It'll cost you $80. You're looking at this bag of like Goodwill stuff.
Tchotchkes.
Do you do you just chunk it?
No, I put it on. I will put on all the clothes, and I will make those trophies into earrings immediately, and probably have the beep will go off a lot in the security thing, and everyone will hate me.
New podcast name, Boss Moves.
Boss Moves, with Julia Rossi. Yeah.
That's
it's like
good.
Not Moves, but Boss.
Boss Moves with Julia Rossi, featuring Dr. Barbecue.
Featuring?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But that could be a podcast, just coming up with podcast names.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, let that happen.
We're through the looking glass.
Yeah.
There's also a podcast of me sticking a gun in my mouth. But you, Julia Rossi.
Back to me.
Yeah, always.
So you're in town doing a whole bunch of shows. But there's one show in particular.
It's very special.
Yes. This Friday, 7 p.m.
7:30.
Nice. Classy.
Yeah. Got that
people,
lead time.
A lot of people like a top of the hour, you know what? Kick rocks.
Hey, wasn't up to me.
Oh, well, pass along that credit then.
But it's good because you don't have those 7 p.m. walk-ins where you're like, oh, I just want to be fashionably late. No, you trick them and be like, no, it's 7:30. Mm-hmm. You sit here.
Yeah. They'll all be, you really end up being early. It's all you've talked about, that and apps.
Let that be my legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
7:30 at the New Movement Theater. It's called A Bad Bride.
It is.
What was that about?
I got married when I knew I wasn't ready to a wonderful person, and wasn't his fault. And so it's basically about doing what you think you should do versus what you actually want to do. And relationships and love and monogamy and commitment and wedding industry and all that wonderful stuff and why love and how.
This is not a post-mortem on your marriage.
No, there's, well, so, you know, not to give away the ending, but I'm still friends with my ex. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not a show where it's like, fuck that guy. It's, if anything, it's an apology, a public apology in some ways. And yeah, I mean, it's sad at points and it's dark, but it's humor is weaved throughout. And I think the feedback I've gotten on this, everyone, whether you're single, married, divorced, dating, asexual, whatever, you relate to something.
Now, this is a show that you've done all over the place, including you on the car ride over. You were talking about you just did it in London.
I did do it in London.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they were, as I was telling you, London people are very reserved. So they were like, how did you go up there and talk about all that? They just were like, sorry. And then that's the London. My God, like they're so polite.
Yeah.
So polite.
But how was the response to the show?
The response to the show was good. I mean, they were a little bit more, they were listening. Like they laughed, But they, I could see them because the way the theater was set up was it wasn't too dark. Like the stage lights weren't very bright. So I could see their faces and they just were very intently listening and then politely laughing. And then afterwards, I more understood how the response was because they told, like, they were like, I really enjoyed it. And I just was in shock to what you were saying. I'm doing a horrible accent right now.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, well.
Fuck those limeys.
DRBBQ. Yeah.
Now, is this something that... Because I heard you on another podcast where you talked about doing a lot of like storytelling shows.
Yes.
Is Bad Bride something that arose out of, oh, you have like a, you know, couple stand up bits and you're like, oh, there's more here than, you know, this? Or is it something to where, you know, you started it as a shorter piece and you're like, well, there's gold here?
So, funny thing was that while I was getting married and going through this, which is not the time to write a reflective piece, mm-hmm. I've actually found a draft of a show because I knew I wanted to do a solo show about weddings and the wedding industry because I'm pretty fascinated by it and I think it's a crazy industry that people get sucked into. And so I started writing this show that was just fluff. It was like, aren't weddings crazy? And my Brandy Barber, who's a very good friend of mine who directed the show and helped me really like punch it up and edit and stuff, was like, this is not like real at all. So I put the show away and then while everything was happening and afterwards, I also co-hosted a show called Strip Stories, which is still around. But my co-host moved to LA and I'm in New York. And Strip Stories is a show in which comedians come on and talk about love and sex and relationships. So while I was married and then going through my divorce, a lot of the stories I told in Strip Stories were about this. Mm-hmm. It's a really long answer. So it was a lot of the stories that I developed in Strip Stories got put into Bad Bride, plus a little bit of my stand-up and plus just other thoughts that I had.
So the development process started and was going on while you were still married.
Yes, but it was it was bullshit. Like, I don't think there's anything from the original half-assed script that I wrote. Maybe one joke.
Okay, so there were no fights, and afterwards you're like, oh, this is going in the show.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, yeah. But so it mostly arose out of my other show, Strip Stories.
This may have nothing to do with anything, but if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when you got married?
27, I think.
Okay. Has your ex-husband
seen it?
Yes.
No. I don't think he ever will, but I had drinks with him before I started doing the show and asked for his blessing. Mm-hmm. And he said, I trust that anything you say is kind, which it is. I mean, it's honest, but it's from a good place. So, yeah, that's all I really needed.
And you said that like you're still very friendly with this mm-hmm. person.
Yeah, yeah. He texted me when I was in New Orleans to tell me a place to go eat.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's cool.
He's got two babies now.
Are they his?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. His girlfriend. And I haven't met her, the babies, but I want to. And yeah, I like love him like family.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Is there a part of you that would want him to see the show?
I think I might be nervous for him. I don't know how I would. Maybe not yet. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think right now because every time I do it, now that I'm really comfortable with it, every time I do it, I add a little bit more. Sometimes not even realizing I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And so I don't really know if I want him to see it. But maybe if he wants to, I'd be open to it.
Okay.
That sounds nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it does. I mean, some of his very good friends, like our mutual friend, because we went to college together, some of our mutual friends have seen it. And I've asked them, I've been like, do you think he would be mad if he saw this? And they were like, no, but it would probably be painful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, because it's painful for me whenever I do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this... Is this new territory for you, like going out and doing something this personal?
I've always been, ever since I started doing comedy, it's been very, like my first stand-up was always very personal. This, it's just a longer piece, and I think it's different in that I'm not, there's moments in it where I'm not couching it full of jokes. Like when I'm personal in stand-up, or if I'm personal in like a shorter comedy storytelling show, mm-hmm. I definitely pepper in probably more jokes because it's, you know, I only have 5 or 10 minutes. But because this is an hour, a little under an hour, I've trained myself to be comfortable with like 5 minutes of no laughter because I'm talking about suicide, you know, like something, which I actually do make very funny. But yeah. Okay. So no, it's not new for me to be personal. No.
So there was never an adjustment period where you're like, oh, I just came here to talk about grocery stores and now like I have to delve into this more personal side of me and I got to get comfortable with that.
No, I've always been really personal, but I did have to get comfortable with, there were some things that I didn't think I would ever want to share on stage. And my Brandy, my director, was like, nope, you should definitely share this.
Okay.
If you're nervous, that means you should. Yeah. And she was right.
After you shared it, was it like a freeing feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's all stuff that I've shared with friends and my therapist and all that good stuff. And yeah, I mean, I don't think it's nerve-wracking because you don't... Because sometimes, I mean, I was worried I was going to come across like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably do to some people. But we worked really hard to make me likable. And I'm really self-reflective. And I'm really apologetic about things. And yeah, I don't know. I'm making it sound like I did something horrible.
No, of course not.
I mean, but I do feel like honesty, even if it's being honest. And I'm not saying this is what's going on at Bad Bride. But even if it's like being honest about something where you don't look too good, I still feel like the audience like responds to that and appreciates that, especially like today.
Well, yeah.
Because allow me to get on my lawn, put on my World War II cap.
Sure.
And tell kids to get off my lawn. But I feel like you don't see that as much in media where someone's just like pouring themselves out and not in kind of like a, you know, a thoughtful way.
I was going to say, I think I teach storytelling as well. And that's something I always like, you know, in talking to my students, the more sincere you are and if what you're saying is important to you and if you really, you know, you can share something right when it happens. There's no rules that you can't, but, you know, time really gives you like that reflective quality to be able to share it in a less, you're still emotional, but you're not so emotionally attached to it anymore. Like I couldn't share this story honestly while it was happening, but it's now been years and years. And so I'm able to, and every time I do the show, I kind of figure out something new. So it's been extremely healing for me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You kind of pre-answered a question I had too about getting comfortable with not getting laughs for a long time. Because I feel like that if I get a laugh at something, it means I did a good job at it.
Yeah.
Like I'd give like presentations in college where they're like, all right, you're about to write a paper. Present your paper first. And I'd present it and everyone would just be like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And everyone would just look at me like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And then I conclude with a little joke and I get a laugh and I'd be like, fucking crushed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was the funniest presentation on the triangle shirtwaist fire that we've ever heard. Yeah.
Well, I guess they won't be looking for parking spaces. God damn it. That doesn't make any sense.
I liked it.
No idea.
Actually, I remember what class it was. It was a class called Cold War in the American Childhood.
Fuck that class.
Yeah, fuck it. Because at UT, you had to take like classes that were writing components.
Yeah.
And they had, some of the classes were like, you know, 80s cyberpunk in Japan. You know, just whatever. Like some grad student wants to, can talk about this for, you know, for 40 weeks or whatever. Not 40 weeks, whatever. Yeah. A semester.
12.
And so that's enough for you to take the class. And I did take one on comic books. But I also took this one because I was like, oh, the Cold War, I was alive during that time. That stuff kind of scared me as a kid. And then this class sucked, or I was just the worst at it.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Probably.
Well, good.
But at the end of the presentation, I remember professor looking at me like, okay, so that's all you have? And I was like, well, right now it's just it's like a big blob of metal I'm going to hammer into a fine samurai sword. And I think people laughed at the dumb way I said that. And I was like, oh, well done, Mac.
Yeah.
And then I fucking barely passed that class.
A plus indeed.
Yeah. That's what I remember. All right. I remember another. This is my time now.
Out of the way, Julia.
Yeah.
I remember some other presentation where I was about like a brand or something like that. Like people and their... how they like, what cereals they like.
Okay.
You know, some sort of like statistics class. We had to break it down. I made some joke about time traveling or something like that. And I got a laugh. And then after I said, and I kept going with it for some reason. And then afterwards, my partner was like, hey, maybe don't, in the middle of a presentation, talk about how if you time travel, the first thing you have to do is kill Hitler. And then like, I just kept going and it just, and they got mad at me.
Well, what did that have to do in relation to Frosted Flakes?
Nothing. I just, oh man, for some reason
got a
you
boner for killing Hitler.
You moving just now, that shadow scared me.
This?
Like, I don't know why. I just saw it out of the corner of my eye and I got scared by a shadow.
Yeah.
You need to take a break from everything.
People listening at home totally know what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Well, they're on the Ustream, so we're watching this later.
Julia has a gun in each hand. No, Julia moved her arm.
My arms are guns.
There you go.
There it is. Have I talked about abolish That thing on the...
I can't wait to hear the end of this sentence.
Have I not talked about this?
No.
Okay. So I go to this gym thing, and there they have shirts, right? Shirts advertising the gym. Some of them say like ABF, always be flexing. And I guess these shirts are like motivation for you.
Oh, God.
Because if you're wearing these shirts...
Always be flexing?
Yeah.
Unless you're inviting people who are looking at the shirt to be like, hey, always be flexing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget.
Because I feel like you got to be in pretty decent shape to have such a shitty shirt on.
Uh-huh. But if it's flexing, like F-L-E-X-N apostrophe, I'm down.
Yeah, I hear that.
What is the difference? Yeah.
That could be
anything.
You know,
that's like, that could be... It's probably some cool slang.
Oh, are you talking about like attitude flexing?
Like, I'll be flexing my attitude. Like that I'm into, but...
For folks that are listening to the podcast, Julie did breakdance on in here.
Yeah, I did. Wait, is my boombox okay?
Yes.
It's fine. It's over there with the cardboard.
That thing is heavy.
It's so big. So big.
Gotta rock those beats.
Yep. Gotta rock those beats.
Gotta rock those beats.
Now let me do it.
Yeah. You guys are so excited to be the third host of this podcast.
Welcome.
Living in your basement.
We'll give you a fun nickname.
Yeah.
I thought I got one. Did I get one?
No, not yet.
You can have your podcast is Boss Moves.
Yeah, I like Boss Moves.
You could be like...
We have to keep paying for that every time.
Working on... But my initials would be BM.
Well, are you going to refer to yourself by your initials?
Yeah, who doesn't?
People with the initials BM, probably.
Listen,
maybe you could spin it like, yo, I'm BM. You'd be like, I'm BM some shit or something.
Are you guys asking me to freestyle rap? I feel like that's what we're getting at.
Oh, I guess we are.
Not going to do it.
Oh, okay. What a freestyle rap tease.
Yeah, seriously. I was just wondering if your name was Julia and if you were here to say anything.
My name is Julia and I'm here to say... Like Fruity Pebbles in a funk. It was not a commercial.
We'll totally lay some beats on
that. Yeah,
why don't we edit that out and go back to talking about my career?
Hold on. One more thing about always be flexing is not. It's not
that's not the end of the story.
I forgot.
It's act one of the story.
It's not the marquee shirt.
Oh, what's the marquee?
The marquee shirt at his gym is it's got a picture of two massive arms breaking a chain.
Oh, God.
And it says, abolish slavery. And
you're kidding.
No, because here's the thing. Abolish slavery, right? It's a little clever if you were just saying that to your friend in context, but you can't put that on a shirt and sell that.
Sure.
Hey, you know how people used to own other people? Well, I work out. Like, it's not.
I own my muscles.
Yeah, it's not something.
I've never, ever enjoyed or liked that culture. I just think it's so, I don't know, I just think working out's private.
Oh, they're going to say black culture.
I mean, that's a given.
Well,
but... I mean,
we've got that recorded.
But abolish slavery in the shirt of the giant muscles, it does beg the question, why didn't the slaves just work out more until they got so ripped that they could take over their masters?
Yeah, maybe they wouldn't have been held captive if they could bench press. Yeah,
exactly. They should have not worn sleeves. I think that was what was holding them back. We'll be right back.
David, we've gotten a lot of calls in the last 5 seconds.
Have a phone.
What is the name of this place?
Well, I don't want to say it on
air.
You
still give? Is it the tomato place?
No. It's a gym that I continue to.
Why do you still go there are there people of color that work out there? And are they?
Oh yeah.
How are the POCs about it?
Okay, so
what?
How are the POCs about that shirt?
What are POCs?
People of color.
Oh yeah. Which backwards is cop?
Whoa!
Hold on a second. Hold on.
POC cop.
Coming up after the break, we're talking about Ferguson. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Narc Talk.
That was terrible.
Working on the Narc Talk.
There we go.
Yeah.
Boss moves.
My name's Jimmy. I'm just a guy. Call up and tell me your crimes. Hey, Jimmy, you're not a cop, because if you are, you got to tell me.
I have a slavery. It's kind of the opposite of this, though, but it did have to do with a place of exercise.
Lay it on us, boss moves.
Exact opposite. I did some Bikram yoga. Last year, I got a month at this place, and I was kind of enjoying it. And the last day, teacher, she was black. It was the day of the Super Bowl.
Here we go.
If you've done any kind of yoga, you know this is not supposed to happen. We go in there. She immediately starts talking about, like, with Bikram yoga, there's, like, just exercises you go through, and she's just supposed to instruct you on them. And she starts talking about...
This is a dumb question. Is Bikram the really hot one?
Yeah, okay. It is. It's not my favorite, but so I did this month of it, and... She starts talking about what she was going to eat at the Super Bowl party, which I was like, all right, well, not. We're all in awkward, like, standing positions, but don't want to talk about food. Then she started eating Oreo cookies, and she goes,
what?
She goes, I'm sorry, y'all, but someone gave me these Oreo cookies as a gift, and I they're going to melt if I don't eat them. Like, or you could leave them outside the room, the 100-degree room. And she drank a nice coffee. Fine. Then she started referring to everyone in class by, like, their race. She was like, you go, white girl. Hey, look, Chinese girl, bend a little further. And I was like, this isn't fair. Like, it was very, I felt a lot of white guilt, even though I'm olive. And it just was very awkward. But then the worst part was that during, like, you lay down and do a relaxing kind of meditation thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
I bet that part's good.
She goes, do you guys see those chains hanging out there? Because they were hanging.
Where is this going?
Shut up. In the hallway of the, like, right outside the yoga studio, there's windows and there were some chains hanging because they were going to hang up chain shelving. Okay. But they were in the middle of doing it, right?
Yeah.
She goes, see those chains out there? While we have our eyes closed, she goes, you know what I think of when I see chains? When my ancestors came over here on a slave boat. And then she started singing like an Underground Railroad song.
Oh my goodness.
And I had one of those moments where, like, I opened my eyes, I looked around, and I was like, you can get, like, I thought it was like a prank show. I've never in my life wanted to, like, roll up a mat and walk out of a class. The Yelp review that I wrote, because I was terrified to say anything while I was there. Ugh, never going back. But, like, it made no sense. Yeah. It was very uncomfortable.
What a weird, like, to go from, like, Oreos are yummy, guys. Mama.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
River.
And, but also she talked about she couldn't wait to see Beyonce's halftime show. I was like, I can't keep up with this. How am I supposed to feel? I didn't know how I was supposed to feel.
But it has to be satisfying to know, oh, I saw the greatest way anyone's ever gotten fired.
I don't think I think she's the owner.
Oh, not anymore.
Yeah, well,
hey, Mexican girl. Twist like I'm twisting this Oreo. Follow the drinking gourd.
It was so weird.
What do I like an episode of MASH? It just goes from weird to maudlin.
And then she was like, all right, everyone on your side. And she was chewing on these Oreos because she had a microphone on too.
Great.
This is unbelievable.
And so when you renewed after your free month. Like,
I did not.
Oh, what?
It was not a free month. I paid
$30. Okay. So she got
$1 a day.
Yeah,
that's a good deal.
It is.
Buys a lot of Oreos.
Yeah.
I was not. I just unsubscribed from their list after a year of being on. I'm being like, how do I get off this thing? And I was like, oh, there's the link. Ugh.
She had Oreos in front of me. She talked about her ancestors, but I'll be goddamn if that wasn't the best Bikram workout I've ever had.
I felt great.
Also, look how quickly Julia abandoned her proud white race to clear herself off.
By the way, is anyone still listening?
Never. They never start.
Please
never
come to my show. That story is not in my show.
We haven't gotten any calls so far.
And that was the woman who broke up my marriage.
Oh,
yeah. I came home so mad from Bikram, threw my mat in the ground. I was like, I don't feel enlightened. And then I won. And then I called a lawyer.
Wow.
Well, that should be in the sequel.
Yes.
Bad Bride 2.
Yep.
Bad Brides with a Z.
I love it.
Do you think, was that marriage not for you, or do you think marriage is not for you?
That marriage at that time was not for me.
But you're still open to the idea?
Yes.
Even though you did it wrong the first time.
Thank you, Dad.
Wow.
Thanks, Dad. Wow. Sorry I spent all your money. Yeah.
Oh. Whoa.
I think relationships are a wonderful thing. I think there's just too many people in terrible marriages that are suffering, that are cheating, that are horrible humans. Yet to cover it up, they post lots of photos of their spouse and kid on Facebook, make grand announcements. They're like, honey, I was just sitting here in my office thinking about how much I love you. And I'm like, I know that you slept with a prostitute because your best friend told me one night drunk. Ugh.
Name names.
Oh, you guys remember Fred so-and-so?
My God, Fred so-and-so.
Fred so-and-so is such a dick. I actually had an incident recently where someone, I think from high school, I think he was trying to sleep with me, like reconnected on Facebook, very flirtatious, kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt, always post photos of his wife, asked me if he wanted to hang out. Like, it was just, I blocked him.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. It was a tough block because he used to be very popular in high school.
Play's got
to
get that play.
Is he still holding up these days? I mean,
he's looking good.
Is the blue book gone down? Or is
He looked better before I realized he was a cheating son of a bitch.
Well, but that's not confirmed yet.
Yeah, you don't know that.
It's pretty obvious.
Okay.
Well, let it happen first.
He clicked like on 3 of my profile photos.
Ooh,
how old were they?
Was that like
Boom, in a row.
Yeah,
in a row.
I like that.
Some comments. I know the moves. You guys, I know the really passive aggressive flirtatious moves.
You gotta dance the dance.
It's weird though that it's like honestly, clicking like someone's profile photos three in a row. Yeah. That's about as big a signal, unless like those profile photos, like each one just more hilarious than the next.
No,
like,
they were not. They were they were pretty. They were pretty.
Eating a turkey leg, just kind of.
Who's liking this?
Eating a turkey leg, strangling Goofy.
Well, it was the clicks that really wasn't a big clue. Then it was the message of
no, seriously,
wow, you
clue.
Look great.
Oh, okay, that's.
And then I was like, I can take that. And then it was the reference to. And then it was the reference to. That we had hooked up once in high school. And I was like, why are we? We don't need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, your baby's so cute. That was my response.
I do sort of remember that weird guy mentality, though. Now that I'm a more mature gentleman, I know you sort of think back about how your brain worked as a younger dude who was just trying to get laid so hard every second.
Yeah.
And you're like, if you present the right case, like, oh, well, I liked you, you know, you're pretty. We did hook up once. And at that point, you're going to be like, all right.
It's kind of just revisionist history at that point.
I guess.
But it's just, so in answer to your question about marriage and stuff, yeah, if you're honest with your partner, if you can, you know, tell them how you feel and not tell strangers when, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking to strangers. I just meet a lot of hypocrites. Not a lot. I know a lot of people in wonderful relationships, and I know people who aren't.
And
I want to help the ones that aren't get out of them.
And I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, but you're in a relationship right now.
I am. How do you know that? Did I say it?
You just said
it. Oh, I said boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't remember if it was off air or on.
No. Yeah, I don't care.
And how does he? How's he taking the show?
He really loves the show. Well, so my last boyfriend did not. That's part of why we broke up.
Oh, interesting.
Was uncomfortable with the honesty, which is fine. Everyone's different. And then this one, he's also a comic.
Okay.
So a little more understanding, I think. And, you know.
Well, good.
Yeah. That's enough information, I think, right?
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to see the show. And I'm not just saying this because you're here, but the show sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is. I've been working on my confidence this year. My therapist.
To yourself.
I'm like, it's really good. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
My best way to take a compliment is my face will get really red and I'll start sweating. I think that's what everyone wants to see.
I take a compliment by just saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
I
love it. Because then they'll know where I am.
Oof.
Yeah.
You're tough.
No, I do love compliments. Keep it going.
But I don't want to give away anything in the show, but were your parents like real mad about this?
Strangely, no.
Oh, were they?
That is also in the show. Because my parents, Italian Catholic, you know, you just suffer. You marry someone and that's it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, and no, they were really supportive. You know, not happy. No one's happy. They're not like, we're so happy you did this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was definitely a lot of conversations of like, how come you didn't think about this before? Because I was with my ex for many, many years. We were together a very long time before we got married, but they were only married a year. So they were like, why couldn't you have maybe not had this party? Mm-hmm. But it is like a train. Once you announce you're getting married, it's very hard to get off the train.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because people know. And then I tried to postpone and cancel, and then it didn't work. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird when like you measure your life and like, oh, I might be unhappy, but we've got booking fees.
Yeah, and it's not even, and mine is also. Was also kind of confusing to my parents, and I agree with them where they were like, but you guys didn't have any we didn't like me and my ex-husband, we got along really well, we were best friends, hardly argued. I couldn't find a good reason. The reason why I stayed so long is because I couldn't. He was such a great guy. I just knew it wasn't the right time. I always say, like, if I met him now, maybe it would have been different, but that's not how life, you know,
yeah,
works.
yeah. That's interesting.
So yeah,
now I don't want you to have to like speculate on future stuff, but do you have any, you know, or like, you know, jinx anything or whatever, but is this something that you could see living on like a different medium?
Yes,
or a different format?
I'm trying to. I mean, I have like a book proposal that's floating around, so my agent's trying to sell a book. I just wrote a pilot and now want to write a screenplay on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a movie than a TV show. I don't know. And then I also have some TV show ideas just around the topic of like relationships and marriage and stuff, but not. But scripted-wise, yeah. Yeah, I definitely want it to be something else. And also, like, tour. Do you know Mike Birbiglia?
Yes.
I want to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mike Birbiglia, marriage hater. No, I don't know. He just says that thing.
I don't know what that
Mike Birbiglia, man, his movie was so charming. I wish that we'd get one of those every year.
Oh, is that right?
Well, you could if someone wants to help produce Bad Brian.
Well, from Birbigs. No.
God.
All right. Hey, Kickstarter it.
Yeah.
Take some of that money that I just gave you off of that dirty food podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, the investment money.
Put it right back in your Bad Brian.
I am the worst. Do you guys, do you know Brooke Van Poplin?
Yes. She's,
okay. So she and I have a web series. She'll probably be out in a couple of weeks if our editors, it's in the middle of being edited, called Seeing Other People. And we did a fundraising thing, but we were both so like, hey, no big deal. I mean, I won't bother you, but like, if you want to give us money, like, no bigs. And like, we made a little, we not enough at all. So we mostly funded it ourselves. But I know some people who just like very aggressive, know how to ask, and they get so much money. I just don't know how to do it, and I haven't really figured out how to be comfortable with it yet.
Well, there's one of two ways to go about that. You could either be like this weird sociopath and just kind of be like, oh, my project is the best and I'm gonna keep hammering you with it, or you could do like we did, and it was kind of like we funded
are you talking about that Indiegogo thing?
We did an Indiegogo for a trip we did a couple years ago, just kind of toured the Pacific Northwest, and I'm very uncomfortable about asking for money. And so people were very supportive. I'm grateful to this day for the people who supported us. But at the same time, I could not sleep at night because I was like, oh my God, that's like food that they could have bought, or like diversions.
Well, it depends who you ask. Like, I would be comfortable. I've met some people, like I had someone come see the show last month who really liked it. She's funding a movie right now. I think that she knows affluent people. So I very honestly asked her, like, I said, look, I want to go to Edinburgh this summer, which is going to cost me money, Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I want to make a movie. Like, please send your fancy friends to my show, because I would be okay with that. I just wasn't comfortable, and I'm not, you know, making a judgment on other people, but asking my fellow broke comedy friends, I'm not saying I'm broke. I did get those trophies today,
buying clothes by the pound over here.
Yeah, you know, clothes by the pound. Razzie, that's my other CP clothes, CBPR, right?
Clothes
by the pound. Razzie,
CBPR. Yeah, there you go.
There needs to be a T in there. Anyways, you guys know what I'm saying. I would like to, if anyone is listening with money, give me a call in the internet and like my profile pics, and we'll take it from there.
See, I feel
I'm so sleepy. Oh God, this is so fun.
Not to talk up our little Indiegogo thing, like we're
tell me the
kings of the world. But the way we did it is like, you know, there was a whole bunch of us, and we're like, well, I mean, look, we're not so selfish as to expect every like, hey, friends pay for everything. But it's like, man, if we could get this amount of money, you know, it would help tremendously with this trip. And so we weren't asking for all of it or that kind of thing. But that's the thing too. I honestly, I've given, I find it so easy when someone's like, hey, here's something I'm passionate about and it's an exciting opportunity for me. Yeah, I'll toss them $20.
Oh yeah, I've done that.
And then a lot of people, and it's nice. The only thing that bothers me about Kickstarter is just the fact that Kickstarter gets like a pretty fat percentage of that money.
Yeah.
Like this one guy I know, his name was Danny Catlow. the story's going to make me seem like a jerk. Danny was about to move to Chicago, but he got in a terrible bike accident. And so he's like, hey, not motorcycle, but on his bike. And he's like, hey, my teeth are kind of fucked up. Right before I move, I don't have health insurance. This operation to fix them is going to cost a lot. I was wondering if people could help me. And he like had a GoFundMe. And just was like, man, I see you every day. Like, I'd much rather just give you that $20 in person, which I know that would seem weird for people.
Yeah.
Because one of the best parts about Kickstarter is like, hey, come see my play. And you're like, or give me $20 to make it. And be like, well, if I give you $20, I don't have to come. Because I don't want, like, GoFundMe to get that money. Now, did I give them the money in person? Absolutely, I did not. Yeah. So,
like, we originally used GoFundMe. And we very grateful to the people who did give. We did get a little bit of money, so it paid for some of it, and it was great. And luckily, we had a lot of people donate time, so we really lucked out with our team. But originally, we were using GoFundMe, and then I hope GoFundMe is listening. I switched, or canceled it because they were allowing the funding for the
Darren Wilson.
Yeah, which I was like, I want to be.
Wait, what?
The cop who allegedly killed Michael Brown.
Who did it?
In
yeah.
Ferguson. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got litigation here.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean the killer cop. In support of him, some people started a GoFundMe.
Oh no!
They're like, oh, he's going in hiding. He could get killed at any minute. Let's raise money for him and his eventual legal defense.
And here's the kicker.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here's the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Much better company, but I just wanted to try to throw some more. Anyways, his GoFundMe made more money than the Mike Brown family.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
GoFundMe. And they had like a bowl-a-thon for him as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are nice.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
How? I mean,
they like supporting their team.
Yeah.
You know, I hate this. I hate this kind of like talk when you're like, oh man, those people out there in the sticks, like, you know, hey, we're all one country, guys, we're doing it together. But hear stuff like that, and it just makes me want to pull my little liberal city blanket up,
yeah,
and like tuck myself in and never leave. That's terrible. But the other thing too, there's so much free shit on the internet, like how easy it is to get, you know, music or whatever. So the fact that all you're doing is like, hey internet, why don't you give the fact that this sort of avenue exists to mm-hmm. pursue creative things, I kind of feel is like part of that balance of you being like, hey, you know, like how many comedy clips do you have online? Like, you know, how many hours of like free comedy, like include like your podcast, Boss Moves. Like how many hours of free comedy do you have out there?
Start a fun thing for Boss Moves.
Might as well get yours. Also, yeah, that Michael Brown thing.
Well, I just don't think Brooke and I pushed it that hard. I'm sure if we pushed it harder, we could have gotten more funding, but I'm definitely going to do it for like my Edinburgh thing and then on this movie. I have to write the movie first. That would probably help.
Maybe fund that.
Fund writing it?
Sure. Man, I've thought about that where it's like, if I could just quit my job for 2 months, I could get so much done.
You know, I've thought about that where it's like, guys, I will promise this amount of work. Like, you will get this from me. I will give this away if you pay my monthly salary.
How about just
no one would do that.
Give me money for being cool.
Try it.
Boss cool, moves,
cool,
it works.
Cool starter.
Oh,
cool starter for Boss Moves.
This, I feel like we're describing classes, like classicism now.
At like, oh, I thought you meant classes at like dope university.
I love all of this. I'm signing off across the
dope
board.
Dope university. We're talking about cool
online.
Or talking about smoking some dope?
No. Yeah. Either.
Oh.
Bring it.
As long as we abolish slavery.
Yeah, let's get it out.
Oh, God. I can't. Let's go back to that shirt.
Let's literally go back and buy that shirt.
Oh,
I absolutely agree.
Well, guess what you're getting for your birthday?
Money?
Bikram yoga.
Do you want to spoil your birthday gift? What a monster. Julia Rozzi, we are almost out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
If people want to see Bad Bride, how do they do this?
So New Movement Theater, 7:30 on Friday. They can go on the New Movement's website. I'm also teaching a storytelling workshop Saturday from 12 to 3 at the New Movement. So if you want to be more like me, it's called Boss Moves 101. And no, it's a storytelling workshop. And then I'm also headlining at the Velveeta Room Friday night at 9 and then Saturday night at 9 and 11. So I have a very busy weekend. And if you're a true fan, come to it all. And I must have one out here.
And if they can't happen to make it to your shows,
then they still go fuck themselves.
Well, when they're done doing that.
Where's a good spot online for them to go fuck themselves?
Oh, well, fu.edu.
Well, that's not.
Which is the sister school of dope. .edu. So many classes to take. JuliaRozzi.com. That's with a G. Mm-hmm. Don't be fooled.
And an I and a U.
Don't be scared.
Twist.
GiuLiaRozzi.com. That is on the internet, and it is free for everybody to visit.
Julia Rozzi, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey.
Thanks, guys.
David Hata, how should we leave the show today?
The way we always do, my man. Let's get into a bar fight.
Okay. Hey, tough day working at the other bar we work at.
And I'm tired of that sweat factory. It's good to come here to the sweat factory.
Hey, sure is.
Yeah. What?
Did you just eyeball me?
No, did you just eyeball me?
Look, I know eyeballs want to see me. Eyeball me, son.
Well, looks like you're about to get an eyeball full of stools.
All right, fine. Bring it. God, that really hurt.
Well,
guess what I got? A laser?
No!
There goes your giant hole in your stomach.
Oh, wait, this is my song.
Oh, let's dance.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.